Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting. Hello, welcome to the Max Show from the British Tech Network, the British number one tech news podcast. Huzzah. Thank you ever so much to everyone who's resubscribed. It's been absolutely fantastic. We've had a really marvellous, marvellous week. We are the 38th most downloaded show ever. We actually released in the, we actually appeared in the top 38 podcasts for the whole of iTunes, the whole of all the podcasts, everywhere, not just technology. Everywhere podcasts, comedy, news, politics. It's down to you. Thank you ever so much. Really do appreciate it. We're here to shoot the breeze on Mac. Toilet paper is around just in case we have microphone issues. And joining me, a big, big panel, a brilliant panel. Top left, we've got Mr. Don McAllister. How's the week, mate?
Hello, Ewan. Not too bad. Busy all week this week. I had a slight crisis yesterday with my son. He's gone off on a field trip with his university and one of these weird and wonderful open source applications that he uses for plotting star positions and stuff just went funny. So I had to sort of throw everything up in the air yesterday and use Fink and all sorts of weird and wonderful things to download all this open source stuff. It took me about 6 hours to install a single application. It was awful.
Oh.
But we got there in the end anyway, so he's packed him off and he's got his applications working.
I thought you'd say you dropped everything and did him a screencast.
No, I had to actually... Well, we
custom screencasts.
Couldn't repair it on his machine, so I had to create a separate partition and I had to do a separate install of Mac in there. It was a nightmare, absolute nightmare. So thank goodness for pre-compiled binaries, that's what I say.
Every night before I go to bed, exactly what I utter. similar to that, anyway. Next to him, join us for the first time on the Mac Show, but not the first time he's podcasted, of course. We've got Mr. Carl Madden. How's it going, mate?
It's going very well. Thank you, Ewan. Thanks for having me on. Thank you for breaking my Mac Show cherry.
Indeed.
Oh, don't give green bloody ammunition. We've got new podcasts, mate, haven't we?
We have. Tell us more. I've got two podcasts out, actually, at the moment. We've got App Chat, where I speak to iOS developers.
That was good.
Thank you very much.
I don't mean this nastily, mate. I didn't think that was going to be my cup of tea. Let me put it that way. And it was. It was really, really good. Really enjoyed it. Great show, mate. Well done.
Thank you very much. We have two so far. So we've had Squibs, and we've had Fire Chicken and Glovebox, and I've got the third one going out, which is Geek Badge on Monday, I think it is.
Excellent.
And the other one is Worlds Apart, where I chat with Missy. We talk about the differences between America and the UK.
I gather this week's subject is anatomy.
Does come up, yes. We recorded it last night and I had a red face through most of it.
Oh, good. Good job it's only audio then. Mm-hmm. Beneath Carl, we've got Mr. Chris Forsman from Ars Technica. How's it going, pal?
Great.
He's ready. He's here. He's pointing the finger. He wants you all set. Have the week's Mac news has been good for you or not?
Yeah, it's been good. Been good, right, okay. Been interesting.
Pretty non-committal. I hope I don't have to drag you through this podcast then. Thank you. Next to him, oh, I forgot to get rid of the lower thirds. I'm struggling here. We've got making a welcome return, and he used to be in shot before his chair broke. Will Green.
Cimaroni.
How are you doing, mate?
I'm all right. I'm not too bad. I've just come back from holiday yesterday.
Ah, right. Where did you go?
I did a bit of a tour of the south coast in the old camper van, and I was about to say the old girl did us proud. But I got back home. I was really happy to get back home, and it, you know, the engine's still going and everything else. Opened the sort of sliding door, bloody thing fell off, and it's dented all the bottom of it. Bloody ridiculous! Now I can't close it. Well, I did. So I got I got a hammer to it to straighten out a little bit, then got it back on again. Well, I said, it's one thing if it's one thing after another with an old camper van. But we had a great time. Did the South Coast and then finished off in Swanage, which is a lovely seaside town.
Yes, I believe so.
That's very good. Before I get, I was watching Don's screencast online the other day. And if you look at it, he says, oh, yes, I'm just going to fire up this particular Mac is called iMac 11.
Right.
Is that, Don, have you got 11 of these things?
No, that's the MacBook Air 11 it would have been.
Oh, MacBook Air 11, that's what it was.
There you go.
Have you got 11 of them?
I haven't got any. No, I haven't. It's the 11-inch. There's a 13-inch and an 11-inch, so it's...
Oh, I thought you were showing up. You know, like when... I'll just fire up MacBook Air 11.
Good to see you up with the product line, Will. Well done. Doesn't the thought of you actually turning up at someone's premises and saying, what's that then? When they ask, you know, could you fix this? Oh, what's that? Andrew, how would that work for you? Oh, I've never seen one of these before.
What? I can hardly hear you. You're breaking up.
Oh, I'm sorry, mate. I'm not Steve Austin. I've no idea why I'm breaking up.
Sorry, the audio is very choppy. It's in and out and in and out.
I don't think it's us. I don't think it's
no,
us.
No, probably not.
Do you have Comcast?
No, yes. No? Okay. No, we have Sky, which is even better.
Oh dear, Sky Broadband. Oh no. The only good thing about Sky Broadband is you're going to get on demand Daniel Craig and all of the Bond movies come October, so that'd be not too bad.
Always demanding me Daniel Craig. I can't get by without a Daniel Craig date.
Moving on. How's the week been, mate, apart from the Daniel Craig days?
Yeah, pretty busy. It was supposed to be quite quiet today, but it turned out to be absolutely blimmin' mental, so...
Yeah,
that was a bit of a shock to the system.
That's the problem, mate. I mean, I've been really busy just lately, and I've never been so rich, but I've never been so tired, and I've got no time to use any of it. So, just going back to some very kind reviews that we've had. If you do listen to the show, please give us reviews, especially in the States. Teresa's the only person that's given us a review in the States. We need lots more of you Americans that listen to the British Tech Network to sound the jolly horn for us out there. But we've had a few nice reviews. If I got 1-star reviews, I'd read them out quite happily, but we haven't had any. So we've got David Walker's written down, if you use a Mac or an iOS device or are tempted by them, then this is the podcast for you. Formula's Just Right makes it a winner. Thanks, David. Long Trousers has written in, great show each week with some fantastic guests in Atco, Merritt, McAllister, Will Green, and a host of others to make up a wonderful show that shouldn't be missed in the land of Apple. And Mal Crame has written down, what makes this show is the quality and variety of contributors. Well recommended for coming up with the entertaining and well-informed show every week. I don't know which the well-informed bit is, though.
Sounds good, though. I should listen to it.
He obviously doesn't listen closely. Thank you very much. Please give us reviews if you possibly can. It makes a world of difference, and it'll keep us right up there at the top of the charts. The number one tech news podcast. And we were technology for a while.
Start slagging it off, I reckon.
You put a review in how you think, mate. You write whatever you want.
Is the debate available now, then?
Is the what?
Has that lapsed? Is the Bagel Tech available as domain now? Has it lapsed?
No, we've still got the domain. It's available on Twitter if you want it. Just Lord Bagel's going to go and buy it and just keep sending me crap, no doubt. So... the week in Apple, not a good week to be Apple, it has to be said. There's been better weeks. They finally issued the fix for the Trojan, the flashback Trojan, the Java thing. Long overdue, serious issue. Should we be worried? Should we all be out running buying the Kaspersky stuff and the Sophos stuff, or that's free?
Oh, I tell you, that this week has been so full of people on the phone and emailing about this. You'd think everyone thinks they've got it. Everybody with a Mac thinks that they've got it.
Right.
But they don't.
Yeah, the number of times they've been saying, no, you probably, honestly, have you been downloading from dodgy websites? Have you been visiting the dark sides of this net? Well, no, it's like, but it's weird. So one little bit of information and the whole world just panics.
Would they say yes, though, if they had been doing those things?
Good point. But no, well, judging by the clients, you know, and I kind of.
And it is the Cotswolds.
People that live at home, and, you know, people that really haven't, but they've heard it on the news and they've got friends, and they've. Quite a lot of people have had their friends that own PCs phoning them up in full on gloat mode, going, ah, you've got this Trojan, you need to take your computer to Apple or it'll be exploding.
Well, I mean, there is a point there, isn't there? I mean, the Windows community have certainly managed to finally cock the snoot to Apple and say, see, we told you it was coming. And be fair, we did a podcast roughly 5 weeks, 8 weeks after we started the Mac podcast, and we got Graham Cluley on and Mark Sunner came on, and they were saying, for God's sake, get some protection now. Get something out there that's going to protect your Mac. because, you know, and Graham clearly was giving it away free from Sophos. I think Kapersky still do theirs free, don't they? And there's a few others. But if you haven't got a piece of a free malware detection now, you really are stupid. I'm sorry, but I didn't dress it up last week, last year rather. You were stupid last year, and you're stupid this year, no?
I'm stupid and told my cousin.
Go on, the problem with this one, though, is that it was a drive-by install, wasn't it? You didn't have to actually do anything. We had Java enabled in Safari, and you went to a site that had been infected with this particular problem. It could actually infect your Mac without doing anything. But the only problem is, though, I don't think on the day one any of the malware or any of the antivirus applications would have picked it up. They would have picked it up since, but not on the day it was launched. So I'm still a little bit... Yeah, it's a problem, and the more likely will be more of them coming down the track. But is it really worth going to the hassle of scanning your Mac every 5 minutes with some bloated antivirus software? I'm not too sure.
Sorry, go ahead, Chris.
I was going to say, I think maybe what might be a better tool is something like Little Snitch that alerts you to unusual network activity.
That's a pain in the arse, Little Snitch, isn't it?
Go on, Will.
Well, every 10 minutes is saying something's trying to use this port and something else is trying to use that port.
Yeah, and you click on allow this forever and it remembers that for half an hour and then pops back up and goes, oh, iTunes still wants to connect to Apple on port 473.
It's nightmare.
That's more annoying. Anything that's as annoying as Little Snitches gets switched off in the end and ends up being useless.
Yeah, exactly. It's anti-antivirus. Go on, Carl.
I say, but if you want to protect yourself, I mean, okay, this threat wasn't that big. I think it affected 1% of all Macs out there, but it's 600,000. It's still quite a chunk. But back from my Windows days, every single day you was getting, there was a risk of possibility of viruses. And in the shop, people would bring their PCs into the shop and they'd be riddled with viruses. They'd come in and say, no, it's running a bit slow. And you'd run scans and it would be absolutely packed with viruses, and it will take ages to get these things off. And if you compare that with just having a piece of software running just the night, maybe when you're not particularly using your Mac, and just have it scan and make sure there's nothing bad in there, that's going to be feel a lot more better than having to rip the guts out of your Mac and get rid of these viruses once they get in there.
Now, I say this with utter reverence in my voice, Don, but bloated malware detection software, I think, is a bit of a dinosaur statement. Sorry, dude. Because I've got Sophos running, and I don't even notice it.
Yeah. I mean, the last time I did run antivirus software, which was probably about 18 months ago, it really slowed my machine down and sort of soured me against the experience. When I used to always run it on my Windows machines when I was a Windows user. But I think Bart had a good sort of halfway house last week on last week's show when he uses, is it Clamex AV? Mm. But rather than scanning the whole machine, because he's sort of conscientious, he knows what he's doing. He just gets it to scan his downloads directory, so that if anything gets downloaded to the machine, it will scan that. So that might be a nice halfway house. But we're still not at the point. As Carl said, we're not at the point yet that Windows is, whereby they're so prevalent and there's so many viruses, and you've really got to protect yourself to keep your machine safe. I think we're still. It's going to get harder, and we're going to see more of them. I mean, Mountain Lion will probably help when that comes down the pipe. Because of this, gatekeeper technology, etc., they're building in. Apple, with this new patch that they've just released that checks for the malware and removes it, it also disables Java as well, I think. So they're not shipping Macs at the moment with Java enabled, but this patch actually switches it off if you don't use it, which I think is a bit... no one's really commented on that, it's quite a hammer blow, that, really, to switch Java off.
What it does is also... Even if you have Java turned on, it won't automatically run an applet. It'll something will come up and say, do you want to run this Java application or whatever? So it's kind of like an added step.
I mean,
if you know you're running a Java application, obviously hit OK. If some random website says that, then you're like, you should be leery.
I mean, what bothered me was that Apple's advice to this was if you're on something that's running Leopard or Snow Leopard or is older than, I think it was 2006, we suggest that you disable Java entirely from the system. Mm. And for a modern company with, I think it maybe shows the naivety of the Mac community and even Apple themselves, that as a piece of advice, that's crap. How do you deal with this? Well, you don't say switch off the thing that's causing it for now until we can come out with a solution. I mean, the Sophos was detecting this within hours of first detection of it. You know, you're going to get a virus. It's going to be there. It's going to stay there. It's going to infect your system and lots of others until it's first detected. But antivirus systems now, as soon as software is being detected as being malware in your computer, and there's reports going through to Sophos and Kaspersky and all those kind of people, they're reacting within hours.
Yeah, and I don't want to make light of the situation, but I noticed Kaspersky had to withdraw their flashback patch because it started to delete all sorts of configuration things and everything on people's machines, which really doesn't inspire confidence. I think they fixed it and they've got a new patch out now, but they had to withdraw it quickly because it was causing all sorts of havoc on people's machines when they tried to run it.
Can I just ask you, the update that's came out today that's meant to fix the situation, does that do just Snow Leopard and Lion then? Was that fix?
Yeah.
So if you're on older, you're...
Turn off Java is their solution. Which...
Sorry.
Go ahead, Will.
I got it.
You got the thing?
Yeah. Does this say anything about my browsing habits or not?
Well, I mean, you don't have to reveal them on this show, mate, just for pure entertainment value unless you really want to. But, I mean, go on. How did you know you had it?
Because, and I will take issue with Don here, that I run Sophos and I've been away on holiday for a couple of weeks without any Wi-Fi and stuff. And when I came back, it sort of straight away, I either got infected straight away or it was lying dormant for those sort of 10 to 14 days. And Sophos picked it up immediately. You don't have to. It seems to me that you don't have to do a huge sweep of your Mac. It just sort of found it straight away. So do you want to get rid of this? I suggest I do, and that's it. Jobs are good. So I think something like Sophos these days, they're pretty streamlined, and you really don't see it's running. You don't have to sort of think to yourself, oh, I need to do a full scan of my machine. That back in the sort of the bad old days, that would take like an hour or two, and it would really slow your machine down. It runs in the background, and yeah, it found it for me, and it was very exciting. It was very exciting when I found that I had this, and I keep going back.
Have you told your wife?
I keep going back to have a look to see if I can see the virus name and stuff like that, but it gets rid of it totally, and it doesn't. I can't see a history because I was quite excited. But when they do, they say we'll put it in quarantine, and I'd love to see quarantine with this little. It's almost like a little bad insect thing, you know, jumping up and down all angry in this little box. And I've got him. And you can poke things at him. But
if you miss it, Will.
I do miss it.
You could always use Time Machine to go back to when you were infected and reinstall it.
Unfortunately, I haven't backed up in about 6 months. That's not a possibility. But I could go out and get it again.
Were you disappointed when you found out that it wasn't actually a little thing that was running around in the cage? It was actually just a piece of code.
When they say it's going to go into quarantine, you imagine into this little boxy thing, and it'd be quite nice if they could make it like a little animated graphic, and it jumps up and down all nasty like that.
No, that really would be a hog.
It'd be like Tron.
Yeah.
All these little characters in a little prison somewhere.
From Teresa in the chat room, she's saying, I used Sophos for a while, but I was having issues with deleting several things, including Sophos itself. Maybe I need to put it back on my system again. The one thing that I had was, I mean, manual deletion in Sophos was the biggest pain in the arse. You found a virus and you had to manually find the code, the string code, to then go and physically delete the file yourself using the trash. That's stopped. There's an awful lot now that doesn't ask for that. I used to get it all the time where it was nearly all manual deletions. And I was getting Malfish A was coming through, which is a Windows virus. And that was always, every single time, that needed manual deletion. But that started deleting automatically in the last couple of weeks. So they've obviously changed some things and more is getting automatically deleted. But that was the only negative with the system. I mean, it doesn't hog your cycles or anything like that. It just runs beautifully in the background. Every machine I've got's got it on. Absolutely. Domestic use only, of course, though.
So, Will?
Yes?
I've stuck a post in a link in the chat room. Is an artist guy that uses computer programs to visualise what computer viruses would look like if they were actual viruses.
Oh, excellent.
And it's basically the virus it draws and the shape and how the virus works is entirely based on the virus's internal code and how the virus replicates and how the virus is coded. And that he uses that, the actual code, to visualize the virus. Very cool.
So
that looks nasty.
That's convinced me now. I'm going to go in the antivirus software.
If they look like that, mate. Oh, definitely. Ain't no way I'm not having that. No, oh, you ain't having that in my system.
I feel a bit sorry for them, really. I mean, they're persecuted, poor little things. They should have a race of their own, and getting rid of them could be racist, couldn't it?
So
it's a racist act, getting rid of this little virus.
So each of these viruses has got its own picture, then, depending on what it is.
Yes.
Do we have the one for the Flash?
I don't know. I stuck the link on Gizmodo on because it's one of the during the show I'll try and track down more links because they are brilliant and they are actually what's nice is that they're generated by the code rather than just thinking what the virus might look like.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, he's just done a graphic. I mean, generated by the code by ours. He's just done a nice picture, and I could do a picture of a virus. Might even a little square man with an angry face.
That's one thing I don't doubt your ability to do. Absolutely not.
I didn't wish to offend Tom Merritt when he showed her the picture. He showed us that picture.
I think you have. He hasn't come back on. He says he can't make it this month.
But he was very good. But I couldn't understand what it was. But I did feel like I offended his artistic sensibilities with that.
It was unnecessary, Will. I think that's the key.
It wasn't unnecessary. It was honest.
Well, you desperately felt the need to say that's crap.
I didn't say it was crap. I just didn't know what it was.
Well, it's different.
I think it was very, yeah.
I thought you said it was crap. I have to say.
No. I didn't. I couldn't see what it was.
I distinctly remember the word crap in there. Anyway, Apple, bad news. The other thing that we've got then is that Apple has been targeted by the Department of Justice for e-book price fixing. They've said that they're going to have a go at them. They've got Hatchet, HarperCollins, Simon & Schuster, and Penguin, and there's another one as well. HarperCollins, there we go. I've said that one. That'll do. Macmillan, there we go. Apparently Hatchet, HarperCollins, Simon & Schuster have already settled, so a term of money has been sent over already. But is this a problem? Are we bothered?
I think, personally, this is my personal thoughts.
That's
on
why
it,
you're here.
But I don't think the Department of Justice case against Apple is very strong. There is an argument to be made about a clause in the contracts that supposedly says that iBooks can't be sold for any more than what they're sold at other places. But I haven't seen anything so far from what the Department of Justice said that Apple was clearly colluding to fix prices.
But you're only saying that on the basis of evidence. It's not your gut feeling for Apple themselves, though.
Well,
you think they're a bunch of crooks.
Well, my gut feeling here is, and this is what I've heard a lot from ours readers on this, and they're just like, oh, Apple, they're just screwing the readers, and they're making us pay so much for ebooks and blah, 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 and it's all Apple's fault. And I just don't see any logical reason why Apple would go through all this trouble to make ebook prices higher for consumers. It actually doesn't benefit Apple in any real material way for ebooks to cost, $15 versus $10. I think what Apple...
Well, it does, because they make $5 extra.
They don't... Apple doesn't make $5 extra.
They make one third.
Maybe $1.50 extra, but but you have to look at it immaterially. It doesn't matter. If ebooks cost less, then that's more attractive to iPad buyers, which they make way more money on iPads than ebooks, way more. I mean, the whole ebook market is something like $800 million total, the whole market. Every ebook sold in the entire world, $800 million. Apple's making billions of dollars on iPads.
So
it's a drop in the bucket. It's a drop in the bucket for this, for the amount of trouble that they could get in if that's what they actually did. So I my feeling is that it's just doesn't make any sense for Apple to have gone through all that trouble for a tiny, tiny, minuscule peanuts of profits when they could be making, hand over fist more money on iPads.
So who is responsible for this then? Just the publishers?
If anyone is responsible, it's the publishers. But
I mean, sorry.
Go ahead, Carl.
But yeah, I still, if anything, I don't think they colluded to fix prices. I think that they colluded, if anything, to keep Amazon from just bottoming out the market so they could push Kindles.
It always comes down to the creators, doesn't it? Because they're the ones setting the prices. And if they all happen to get together and say, okay, this is the price we're all going to charge now, then that stinks. I mean, I know they're all selling different books, but the fact that ebooks seem to go for the same price, if not more, than actual physical books.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a cartel if that's the case. If someone is sitting down with another body and saying, we are going to ensure the cost of this price across the market is that way. And I think there's a certain element of that in this country with insurance for cars and that kind of stuff. Everybody has to register so that they say that it's so that they can track fraud and that kind of stuff. But actually what it comes down to is a central database, and they know you've had quotes from, they know what they quoted you, and your price is then matched. And I think that's cartelism, most definitely. And I think most certainly I would have thought that if it's not Apple, it's got to be the publishers, because there's no other two people that are setting the price here. I'm not sure that Apple are even setting the price. They're just saying we want our 30%, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, absolutely. Apple's not setting prices on anything. So it's kind of hard to accuse them of colluding to set prices for anything, because they don't set the price.
But the issue is the fact that they're also not allowing a competitive market, because the price that is set by the publishers, Apple are then restricting the change of.
Yeah, that one's a bit dodgy, isn't it?
That's a little bit different.
If you sell it with us for a tenner, you can't sell it for less than a tenner anywhere else.
And that's Chris has gone. Chris has gone with a very bad face. No, I've lost the face. There we go.
But this. I mean, I know we're talking about books here, but you can say the same thing about movies. If these companies just realise if they charge a little bit less, or they put their prices down to like the same price of what a lot of apps go for, they're going to sell loads. I mean, if their product is like good, it's going to sell at a lower price and probably make more money in volume.
Yeah. I mean, I have to agree. I mean, I don't really know the background to this story, if I'm honest, so I can't really comment on it. But I always get the impression that Apple even that might be illegal, collude to bring the price down, or, you know, to try and make it cheaper, because, as Chris said, they're not really interested in you know, making a huge profit on the actual content. They're more interested in selling the devices. So the more they can make the price more attractive to people, and the more, you know, volume they can sell, and the more devices they can sell on top of that. That's where I always think they're coming from. I really struggle to think that they would actually go in and try and artificially inflate prices.
I think the issue here is the fact that Apple have set a contract that says, right, you know, I mean, if you look at the music industry, I think one thing that's important to point out is that the music industry now no longer seems to, or the music industry bleats about it, but if you actually look around at the stories around piracy of music, they've moved on from piracy of music and they've moved on to piracy of movies, because A, it's probably more prevalent, but B, also, I think because pricing is very, very competitive for audio, and you can go and get it very easily, and your data is secure with cloud services and that kind of stuff, people aren't doing it as much. And the problem that you've got with the publishers, though, is that the publishers are setting the prices, but Apple wanted to make sure that the publishers couldn't do backdoor deals with other providers to undercut them, so they said, please don't do it, and they gave them this fee. But then what happened was the publishers physically used that restriction to then go back to Amazon and say, oh, well, we can't charge more because, you know, Apple made us charge the same as you, you know, so sorry. And they've been raising the prices and getting more from it. As Chris says, you know, the intent of Apple has always been to sell content for the devices that they sell, surely.
And I think what's an interesting twist to this is the fact that what we have to remember what Amazon was doing before the iBook store came out.
No, he's gone again. With a much more pleasant face.
Was he saying Amazon was doing this before Apple started?
Amazon did. Well, Amazon told you what the percentage was, and they set the price of your book. I don't think you actually set the book yourself. It was them that decided how much it was going to go for. But, I mean, I think Apple will probably do the same again as they did with music after this. Once they've settled this case with DOJ, what they'll say is, right, your book must be, and they'll tell them a price that they've got to sell it at, and it'll probably be hard-hitting. You'll probably find $2.99 and $5.99 books, and they won't let them have the £15 books anymore.
I can't stand why they're at prices anyway, because there's no physicality to them, there's no storage, there's no printing, there's no logistics involved, it's just somewhere on a server. and off it goes.
Yep, absolutely. Just one copy everywhere. And there you go. Right. We did that one then. What else have we got this week in Apple? We've got new MacBook Pros seeing significant performance boosts with Ivy Bridge. What's the latest? They're talking 29th of April as the claim launch date for this. That does seem a little bit soon, though, doesn't it, after I've just bought a new one?
That's why.
Well, it looks like Intel's moved to a staggered launch for Ivy Bridge, as the leaked information that's out there says. I mean, originally it was supposed to come out the first quarter, and then they came out and one of their executives said, no, it's going to be pushed back to June. And the most recent leaks say that a range of processors, some of which are like some high-end mobile processors, are going to come out at the end of this month, and then the rest will come out at the beginning of June. So it's about a 5-6 weeks in between, staggered rollout. It's really hard to say what Apple's going to do with this. Some signs indicate that Apple could be doing a new 15-inch MacBook Pro model of some kind, right at the end of April here, because inventory levels have been dropping at resellers, and that's usually the first sign that production slowed down or stopped. At the same time, I still feel like Apple would want to do a whole series of, they want to upgrade all the MacBook Pros at once. So I had this sinking feeling that everybody might end up waiting until June.
HWDC as well, then, though. Not HWDC, WWDC then at that point, isn't it? So some news, especially if they're doing Retina displays with it as well.
Well, there's a whole host of things, and the whole restyling on the on the MacBook Air lines as well. But not they're going to do that. I mean,
15-inch, 14-inch.
If they have got some early supply of these new chips, they just might just bring out one as a taster for the new range rather than the whole range, and get that out early so people know what to expect. I don't know. Yeah, I sort of agree with Chris that they probably would want to do the whole range. But I think people are pretty stoked about the redesign, and it'll be really nice to see what they actually come up with when they do finally release them. And even putting aside the performance gains from these new processors, there's talks of they've just released a new Thunderbolt chip. You've got these new processors, possibilities of Retina display, and then the possibilities of the restyle along the MacBook Air line. I think the next generation of MacBook Pros should be pretty impressive.
Now, the last time we said, sorry, go ahead, Chris.
Who wants to put odds on they ditch the optical drive?
Oh yeah,
certainly. Yeah. I wouldn't even take that money, dude. If there's one thing that's going to go, it's got to be an optical drive. And if they don't take it out, they're stupid, because it's probably quite expensive. No, it's quite expensive to manufacture, I would have thought, and install. Even though it's relatively old technology, there's a lot of parts in there to make it function, because it's physical movement. Mm-hmm. And I haven't, the one I've got in here, I took straight out. The day after I got the machine, I'd already got a second drive built in with an OptiBay
adapter.
Yeah. There's no way on God's green earth that needs to stay. I've got an external one if I need to use it, and that one I pass around all of the computers that I've got, and that's it.
I was thinking the other day about this, and I was thinking maybe that Apple is going to move to the same kind of SSD modules, these compact SSD modules they're using in the MacBook Airs, and make that the boot volume. Then have a drive bay that maybe is either optionally filled or not. If you're the kind of user that has to have tons of storage, or you're a pro user and you're shooting tons of video or audio or recording audio or shooting images or whatever you're going to do, if you need the extra capacity, you could swap in either an SSD or a high capacity spinning hard drive in there.
These are all very interesting points, aren't they?
Like, go on then. What have you got to add to the conversation, Greeny?
I haven't really.
But have you considered? I quite like changing the optical drives on Macs.
Yeah, because you make a lot of money doing it.
Quite a lot every week. I make quite a lot of money every week changing broken optical drives.
Yeah, well, they're still going to be there, mate. It's only going to you're going to lose it in 5 years' time, aren't you? When this one reaches down to
this
to
is Gloucester. Apple optical drives. I'm going to lose it in 18 months' time. They'll all be gone by then.
eBay.
No, I mean, Chris has gone again. There we go. Jolly good. What about changing form factor? I mean, they were talking about them going down to the size. Everything's going to go to the size of the Air, allegedly. But I mean, if there's power users out there, I can't see them being happy with being restricted on memory, not being able to add memory onto it, even if they went up to 8 gig on the board. We had a bit of an email through a couple of weeks ago when we talked about the Air, and I said I'd stayed away from the Air because I wasn't sure whether it would handle Final Cut and Photoshop high end stuff. And I got a real kicking in the email saying I was talking out my backside, which isn't new, and that it was more than powerful enough. But I, you know, in my purchase requirements, I looked at the Air and I deliberately went for a MacBook Pro 15-inch and tricked it out with absolutely everything, 16 gig of RAM and the top-end graphics card. Did I need to do that? I mean, can it really go into that small form factor?
I don't think it'll be the same small form factor. I think it will take on the style. So it will be a bigger machine, but, you know, the same sort of styling. So the tapering, you know, making it thinner, making it lighter. But it will be a bigger enclosure, so they could still sort of fit more stuff in there. It's the ports thing.
It's not so much the in, is it? As well, it's the ports on the side. Yeah, if you're a pro user, you want Thunderbolt. You want more. You want more in and out than the Air provides.
This is the question, isn't it? You know, has Thunderbolt gone along enough now, whereby they can start seriously putting pro machines out with just a Thunderbolt port?
Not yet. That would be insane.
Almost. And don't forget, NAB's out this NAB's this year, this month as well. So we'll see lots more pro gear come out with Thunderbolt-enabled displays. Well, Thunderbolt-enabled ports.
NAB's going to be the acid test for price, though, is surely more than anything.
Mm.
Because, I mean, we'll take it as read that there's going to be a whole, you know, bunch of stuff come out that's significantly more powerful. But if that stuff comes out and it's got Thunder Chicken on it and it's going to be at £800 for a 2 terabyte drive, it's pointless. I mean, and Apple then at that point are really caught because they've got this technology that they've funded and patented with Intel, and they are not getting the peripherals that they thought they were going to get, which was going to take advantage of it, because Thunder Chicken's got this, you know, all its expensive cables, its expensive connectivity, its super data speeds, waiting for optical to come.
I mean, they better, if they're going to launch a MacBook Pro with only Thunderbolt port, then somebody, Apple, who won't, but somebody else needs to develop a FireWire to Thunderbolt adapter.
Is that going to affect your data rate much, though? It's going to be horrific, surely, and you'll lose your relay capacity.
I've got one of them already.
You have?
Yeah. I've got a 27-inch Thunderbolt monitor. I used one of my old MacBook. What I was saying before about my son, what I did was take his MacBook Pro, which has got FireWire. I built the partition on my Thunderbolt external drive connected to my MacBook Air via the 27-inch Thunderbolt monitor, and then installed the software, etc. Then got his machine and plugged it FireWire from his MacBook Pro into the FireWire port on my Thunderbolt machine, put it into target disk mode, and then copied the partition across to the older Mac. Quite easily, so you know, it's a hub basically, and I think if they can bring out a low cost hub rather than have to spend out to get a 27-inch Thunderbolt display, if they
and we'll carry it around in the van with you all day just in case.
Exactly, yeah. But you know, we've seen Belkin have got a Thunderbolt hub coming out whenever. If Apple could bring one out, that'd be fantastic. I'm not sure Apple will. I think it's going to be down to third parties. But you know, the interfaces between Thunderbolt and the other ports. It's prime for a third-party solution to step in and do that for them.
Don't trust him.
Don't trust who, Will.
Don, he sent his son out into the moors, right, without a map and only an iPad with a star chart. A star chart that then didn't work. I mean, that's awful, isn't it?
That sounds like the sort of thing you'd do, though, Will.
Well, my little boy, he's only 3. Here you go. Have an iPad with your star chart and you drop him off in the wilderness and see you in 2 weeks. Good luck.
Based on the way my 3-year-old uses my iPad 1 that I've now given to them, she's a whiz on it, mate. She walks in and she'll hold it up and she'll go, "Dad, look, I play Angry Bird."
Well, I mean, he's got 11 iPads. He didn't even get 11 MacBook Airs. He didn't even get one of them. 7 of them.
Horrible.
Yeah. How many iMacs have you got, Will?
26. How did he get on, Don? I lost the plot with that one. So he was on like a scouting thing, was that something?
No. He's gone on a field trip with his university to a mountain in the Canary Islands to do some astronomy observing.
Not Mount Tady.
I'm not sure. Probably, yeah, could well be.
Mount Tady's got an observatory on top. Yeah, it's supposed to be like the surface of Mars. They filmed the Ten Commandments there as well, which aren't nesting. And there's a bit in the rock where you can stand there and have your picture taken.
Oh, right.
Where he was Moses, holding his tablets.
Yeah, yeah, I was about to say.
Going to the Grand Canaries to stargaze. I thought they just went down the pub.
Well, no, but the Tady is the light pollution's, because it's so high up and it's so clear, it's supposed to be absolutely incredible. And like, if you stand up there at night, which you can't get up at night because they don't run the cable car, but the ability to see the cosmos around you, the Milky Way, and it's supposed to, you're supposed to be able to pick out the whole of the cosmos. It's you know, like Brian Cox shows you on the TV, that kind of level. It's very good.
I got drunk on my Duke of Edinburgh.
How old were you?
I wasn't very old, actually.
There's a lot of answers there in that one, isn't there?
It was quite fun, though. He's not doing Duke of Edinburgh, then?
Is it Duke of Edinburgh, Don?
No, he's at university. He's doing an astronomy degree at a university, so it's a full... It's like a placement for a week in the observatory over there.
Well, I started off when he was 3, went up to about 14, and he's actually about 35, isn't he?
No, he's 21.
My cousin came out with something the other day, and he was talking about people doing astronomy as part of university courses, because he teaches at Sheffield Hallam. And he said, I don't get the astronomy courses, because you're looking at light that's come from a place that isn't even there anymore. And I thought, that made me think. I'm observing something that isn't even there anymore.
Right.
Or at least the light from it. Chris, you got any Mac news for us? Because you look bored. Unless you're frozen. No, he's frozen. There we go.
No, there he goes.
Is he on mute? No, he's just... Is he going to vomit?
That's disgraceful. You can't tell the difference between Chris when he's live Chris and when he's frozen.
Chris has become Max Headroom. Max Headroom Forsman.
I am not bored. I am just infinitely frustrated with my cable modem disconnecting me at random intervals.
How much do you pay a month, dude?
Too much. Like $65.
What?
Yeah.
I don't pay that in pounds. No. I mean, I don't pay that in terms of like the equivalent fee with the conversion rate being used properly. Is that 65 plus tax?
Do you want to know how much my monthly cell phone bill is? $85.
Wow, mine's 25 quid. And I don't use half of what I've got on that.
Mm-hmm.
I get 40 gigs of data for £40.
Yeah.
On my mobile MiFi. Dude, you're getting ripped off, man. Because you are jerky crap at the minute.
It's not me. It's everyone in the United States is getting ripped off. Everyone.
You want to start?
And the FCC is not helping things.
Get to the streets with your pitchforks, boy.
I know, right?
Yeah, go burn someone. That's what you need.
Well, I believe me. I take jabs at Comcast, and
we need a Comcast hanging.
Pretty much every chance I get, so.
Who's the chief executive of Comcast?
I don't know, honestly.
And see, there's the problem right there. You're not investigating clearly enough. Find out who it is and start to hang whoever he is.
Find his house on Google Maps.
Yeah. Go around with a pitchfork and a lantern.
Send Anonymous over.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Is there any more Mac news this week?
we hit the big stuff here. We got the Department of Justice case. Yep. We've got the...
I'm not doing Instagram again. Stuff that.
No.
We've already done that on two shows.
Yeah. So...
Will, did you say you had a top tip for us?
Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, no, don't crap out your bandwidth. Give us the top tip, mate. See, Dr. Happy Max walked away. He's so bored.
Oh, no.
Oh, he's got a customer.
Yeah. If you're in your car...
Yeah.
Sure.
You look at the picture of the little petrol pump next to the gauge.
Yeah.
See how much petrol you got. Do you see the, like, a little picture either to the right or the left of where the pump is going into the pump? And that tells you which side your filler cap thing is on.
And when you can also just look.
When did you find this out?
A couple of years ago.
You know they've been doing that since the 60s.
What? Did you know that?
Yes. As long as they've been putting petrol gauges inside a car, so that you knew when it ran out, mate. They've been putting which side the tank's on.
Well, in all honesty, did anybody else know that?
Yeah.
I'd heard that, yeah.
Don? Oh. Don's on mute still. What did you say, Don?
You tell us that once before, Will.
Did I?
Nice of you, mate.
Oh, well, there we are. That's that then. So that was my tip. You asked for a tip, and there it is.
Does Will know that E does not equal enough and F does not equal freaking near empty? It's just an old wives' tale. It's not. It's not. It's true. There you go. Top tip of the week for Mac is which side your filler cap's on. I think there's an application in the iTunes store that will tell you. You put in the make and registration and model number, and it'll say left, right.
The last one I was on, I was talking about that blooming, what was that app called?
Plex.
The one based on Microsoft. Microsoft, you went.
Paper.
No.
No.
The courier thing.
Yeah, oh, Christ, it's awful. I mean, I was quite enthusiastic about it at the time.
Yeah, you were a little bit.
Yeah, I know. It's not very good.
It's not very good.
Is it another Plexian or Plex?
It's ridiculous. I really want it to be brilliant. I love the concept behind it. But, it's
just Tapose, is it?
Tapose.
Tapose. Yeah. I tell you what, Don, don't do one on that.
I only had a quick look. I haven't really played with it very much.
Never mind. Talking to top tips, Gaz Maz, who's regularly on our show, has given us a top tip, and it's one of his classics that's the simple stuff that you look at and go, oh, really? So here's Gaz's top tip. We're going to try and do this as many weeks as we can. When Gaz isn't on the show, he'll going to send one through. So enjoy this, eh?
Yeah.
That's at 1 minute, 46 minutes. There we go. And wasn't that a great tip? Well done, Gaz Maz. Thank you for sending that one in. We'll try and do those as many as we can. Insert here. I need to work out how to play videos on this thing. We'll do it. Oh, by the way, we're all getting feedback video next week.
Ooh.
Hopefully. Because I've got all the stuff on order. All I'm waiting for is from the capture cards. So as soon as the capture cards come, we're done. We're all going to get your video back. There you go. So. Bought with donations, very kind donations from our listenership. If you'd like to donate and support us, then you can click on the Buy Us a Beer logo on the front page, and $5 or $10 a month will get you all of this, and we'll get equipment that supports and aids the network. So all of the stuff that we've bought for the feedback loops has come from donations from customers, from listeners. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
This podcast. Oh, go on.
I was going to say, another top tip, you could do a rubber finger on a stick, couldn't you? Just come to me.
Monty Python did that one as well, mate.
For iPad and iPhone devices, and like for Don, who's got so many of them, he needs to tap on stuff for his screencast online, a rubber finger on a stick.
Right.
I don't think rubber will work.
I thought it did. I thought...
No.
Maybe a sausage on a stick.
No, it's got to be conductive, dude. So it's got to be a graphite-based thing, or your finger, even, which is
that would be quite cool. Sat there with 10 sausages strapped to your fingers, like Johnny Sausage Fingers, doing every. That would be.
Well, the Japanese did carry around until they brought capacitive touch markers out. The Japanese were running around with frozen sausages, weren't they?
I think it was Koreans.
Korean sausages. I wasn't counting. But there we go. The fact you know that, Chris, is really sad.
I'm just saying, get your Asian straight, my friend.
It's right. I am deficient in straight Asians. Have we got... Oh, no, I'll just do the advert. This podcast and all the others wouldn't be possible without UK2.net. They're the people that keep us afloat. Please support them. Plain and simple. Go to our webpage, britishtechnetwork.com, and you'll see a logo, this one here, that's on the video stream. It'll be in the bottom left-hand corner. Click on that. The tracking link knows that we... So they know that we sent you. And then have a browse around, see what there is. There's VPS servers. There's dedicated servers from £50 a month upwards. There's a little slider so you can work out what your basic data requirements and bandwidth requirements are, and then it'll churn out what the best option is for you. There's a thing called Site Builder, and there's a competition running with Site Builder at the moment. If you vote on people's Site Builder sites that they've submitted, then you could win an iPad. The iPad. the three. It'll be there available for you, and they'll draw it out, and the winner will get it. We did have a competition a little while ago that they ran, and a Bagel Tech listener won. So it does happen. There you go. Alison was the lady who won. Well done, Alison. UK2.net, support them, otherwise they won't support us. And if they don't support us, we can't afford upwards of 11 terabytes a month, I'm afraid. Mm-mm-mm.
Please. Do it.
Thank you.
Do it.
Have we got a cool thing? Donny boy. Still on mute then, dude.
Right.
Hello.
Testing.
Yes, you're in.
That's going to be an interesting screencast online this week, isn't it?
It is, isn't it?
Silent.
The number of coughs I had to edit out of this week's... Oh, no. Don't even go there. Don't even go there. But anyway, right. Go on. I'm going to do a Mac one this week instead of an iOS one. And it's one, it's actually an application I've used for a while, and I'm using it at this very moment. It's eyeglasses by, I think it's Ecamm. It's basically a piece of software that captures your webcam and allows you to do all sorts of things with it. You can sort of flip it, you can put effects on, you can zoom in and out. But it's really useful. You can use it in conjunction with Skype and sort of any application that uses a video camera. It just gives you that bit more control over, you know, what it looks like, and change the brightness, change the saturation. Do adjustments to it. It's really neat. It's about $20, but if you're using Skype a lot, it's well worth it. It's a great little application to improve your webcam.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Very, very good. Carl, what have you got for us, mate?
Well, as you know, I like to write a fair bit, and I like to write on the Mac, the iPad, and sometimes the iPhone when I'm stuck in traffic. And mine's a text editor. It's IA Writer by Information Architects. And you can put all your text on there and sync them over the cloud. And they've also got a feature on there where you can just concentrate on one section of text. So it just gets rid of the rest of the stuff on the screen. And you can just focus on that line of text and or the area you're working on. And it works really well. And it syncs up over across the cloud. So you've got it on all devices at any time. It's very good. There's the iPad iPhone version is 69p. And I believe the Mac version's about £4, but I'm not sure, £4 or £5.
Very good. Very, very good. Chris, have you got anything for us?
I was really hoping OWC has a really cool new product coming out, and it hasn't been released yet. I thought it was going to be out this week, but it's not yet. But
ooh, you tease.
I'll tell you about it. It's coming soon.
Go on.
So you know that the MacBook Air uses these special SSD modules. These little cards about that big.
Yep.
And OWC is right now the only company I know of that is making replacements. And I did a whole article showing you how to do the swap yourself. It's not too bad. It's certainly not for the faint of heart, but if you can handle a screwdriver and you got a little patience with yourself, it can be done right at home. But the problem that I had doing the swap is that you have to, the smartest thing to do is to clone your drive and make sure you have a booting backup, and you have to do that over USB, which takes forever. So what they have now, in the meantime, they have a couple new modified versions of their enclosures, but they are making a special, really nice, thin little aluminum enclosure that you can pop that drive into and use it as an external device. And that's going to be really nice, and I hope it comes out soon because it's going to be really cool. But in the meantime, they have a modified version of their standard external drive case, and you can just swap out your old drive, put it in the case, put the new drive in, and then you can plug that in and boot from the external. And if you want to clone it back or, you know, reinstall from scratch or whatever you want to do, but it makes the process much simpler, and it allows you to reuse that relatively expensive SSD module that you get in your MacBook Air.
Very good. Very, very good. William, do you have anything for us, mate?
Well, if you say very good, very, very good at the end of my one.
Well, it is. The SSD stuff's brilliant.
Yeah, but you've said that at the end of every single one. Everybody says they're a cool thing, and you go, very good, very, very good.
It was. I thought the writer one was good, and I liked Don's as well for Skype. So stuff off, I was listening, so stick it.
Yeah, whatever.
Stop stalling yours.
You wait for them to stop talking, and then you say, very good, very, very good. Next.
Yeah, I was listening, though. They're good picks.
Whatever, yeah.
Stop stalling. Come on, what have you got?
I got two.
Oh.
I got two. The one is...
Which one are you going to hate first?
No, they're both good. And they're both
no, good. They're both good now, but which one are you going to fall out of love with first?
Probably the first one, actually.
God, Ed.
It's cool. So, have you ever seen those videos where you've got sort of the image in the background that's static, and then people walking by, and they're all blurry? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Imagine you've got like some buskers in a street, and then they're playing away, and then the people in the foreground. It's free. It's called Video Ghoster, and it's a self-contained app, and you basically just chuck your video into it, and it does that effect, and it does it really nicely. Video Ghoster.
Video Ghoster.
Yes.
Very good. Very, very good. Next.
Yeah, you know the way it is.
Oh, get on with it, Greenie.
Well, I'm trying to think of that. Yes, here's the next one. Is well, I got. Can I do three? Actually, can I pop a podcast in there as well? It's not my own.
Of course, you can.
The next one is iExplorer. It's totally free, and it allows you to use your iPhone or some sort of iOS device as an external storage device. Or if you have got sort of apps on there that support it, I use it with MAME application that allows you to run sort of old arcade games on your iPad or your iPhone. It allows you to drag things into there. So it's very good. It's free, and it doesn't mean you don't have to hack your iOS device to use it. Really good. Just it says it. It's iExplorer. Explore your iOS device.
iExplorer. Excellent. Nice free pick on the first one. I like that one.
No, they're both free.
No, but the first one was nice because it was free and it was good.
But the second one's free too.
Yes, but I know. But I'm saying the first one was a better one.
So what are you trying to say about the second one then?
I'm saying the first one was better. What a persecution complex, Jesus. You can get help for that, you know, mate. There's drugs as well.
That depends on what you mean by the word is.
Thank you, Bill Clinton. DHM, have you got anything?
Hold on, I haven't done my third one yet.
You said two.
No,
I was listening. See, I do listen.
I said, can I put a podcast in there as well?
I thought that was your second. Right, go on then.
The Unexplained with Howard Hughes podcast.
The Unexplained with Howard Hughes. You know he's dead, right?
Different Howard Hughes.
Oh, okay. That's good.
You know, there were three Howard Hughes. There's one Howard Hughes from, what was it? What was the film? The black and white film where they met under the clock in Waterloo?
Brief Encounters?
No, Brief Encounters, the railway.
Brief Encounters. Oh. There's one Howard Hughes, Brief Encounters. Second Howard Hughes is off Ever Increasing Circles. You know, Howard and Hilda, his name was Howard Hughes.
Right.
And the third one is from the podcast, The Unexplained, with Howard Hughes. And it's this week in particular, well, they're all great, every single one. But this week is with a chap called Ian Shercore, who talks all about conspiracy theories and stuff. It's brilliant. And there's one all about the Titanic, an amazing conspiracy theory, that there were actually two Titanics. And one of the Titanics...
No, the other one was the Olympic.
Yeah, but if you look at it, right?
They swapped the Olympic and the Titanic when it was in dry berth.
Oh, all right then.
Yeah. There was a guy, if you watch, there's a shadow on Discovery, and it tells you that there's a guy who was part of the original shipbuilding team, and he told his son on his deathbed that when they found the Titanic, he told them exactly where the hole was going to be as well. And there was also a conspiracy that, what's his name, that owned it, JP Morgan, deliberately scuttled the Titanic because there was a boat that was within 20 miles that was full of thermal flasks and blankets and stuff like that that was supposed to be in the location when it struck the iceberg and it didn't make it in time.
Mm.
There's lots.
It's poignant at this, isn't it? Is it 100 years exactly since the Titanic sank?
It's last week, wasn't it?
No, it set sail yesterday, so it's 15th. It's another couple of days.
The real-time tweets coming in from... There's some historical website that's actually sending out tweets as if they were in real time from the Titanic.
Oh, right.
You do it like every couple of hours, you know, where they are and what they're
it's
up to.
It's a little morbid.
It is.
Which is really strange. It's a bit spooky.
Having a great time.
They can get
can't
stuffed
wait to America.
At 2:15 in the morning.
It's getting a bit nippy.
Cool, blimey, look at the size of that one.
Sent drink back to the bar. No ice in it.
I just saw a bloke and a woman in a car doing it.
How did that idiot get onto the front of the ship?
I just got that, yeah. Can I move on yet, Will, or not?
Well, I thought my three picks were very good, actually.
I thought they were awesome, mate. Next.
I didn't get a good then.
Good, next. Dutch, Dr. Happy Matt, what have you got for us, pal?
I got three.
What have you got?
Right, first off is a Mac app, which is very useful if you're like me and one of those people that find at the end of every day their desktop is basically shotgunned with rubbish that they've built up during the day and is making everything look very untidy. It's called Clean.
Right.
And basically, it's a little app. It's free from the Mac App Store, and you specify a location, and every day at a set time, it moves all files from your desktop into a folder with the day's date on it.
Yes, that's
good.
Wow,
that's great, isn't it?
Stops you looking Windowsy.
Da-da-da!
Excellent. So, yeah, I have had a play with that, and it's very
crap,
good.
And then the next minute, it all goes into a folder, which is in a designated place with the day's date on it, and you can go and find out where it is. Excellent.
Is that folder called Desktop or Desktop 2?
I put everything on my desktop in a folder called Desktop, and it gradually builds up till there's loads of them, and they all get filed into a folder called Desktop.
Exactly. That's where I put mine. Periodically, I just do a dragon slice into Desktop on the desktop. There you go.
Well, there you go. Well, this will do it for you.
Exactly. I'm very impressed.
Stop you and having to manually put it all into a folder on your desktop called Desktop.
And it's free. And I didn't realise, but if you download Mac App Store applications that are free, you don't have to go and download them again. You can just drag them across in your folders and they work. And if you can drag, if you buy ones and drag them across, they're fine, but you have to do your authorization thing to get them to work. But free ones, you just drag them across and they just open on any Mac. So you can even do them onto a Hackintosh or something like that, and they're free. There you go.
Cha-ching. Excellent.
Thank you, mate.
Good.
Two.
Anyway, number two, which led to number three, is a really good website. If you've got an old Mac, or like Don, who's probably got Macs he hasn't chucked away for years, so he's probably got 50 or 60 older Macs lined up in the ante room or the potting shed or these other places. It's great. It's called MacintoshGarden.org. And you can go there, and it's a massive, it's the biggest archive of old Mac apps, utilities, spreadsheets, operating systems. If you need to reinstall System 7.5, you can go to MacintoshGarden.org and download it. If you need any apps there, it's brilliant for all those things you remember from when the Mac was great and black and white and stuff like that.
Excellent.
And there's one of the apps on there I discovered. I was looking through it in the adventure section. Was an app that we used to play at my old office across the network and things called Spectre, which was like a little tanky 3D VR shoot 'em up thing, which runs on any Mac up to from System 7.3 to OS 9, which means that you are absolutely buggered if you've got a modern Mac. But luckily, you can get it from the Mac App Store. No, on the iPad. Spectre for the iPad.
Oh, cool.
With LAN play and internet play and all sorts of other stuff. Brilliant.
Excellent.
You have to, the only rule is when you start the machine, you have to go. Which is what
how'd you have to go again?
The tank dropped from the sky onto the thing.
Right. Okay.
There you go.
Thank you, mate.
That's three squeezed in there.
Free. Brilliant. We like free. My pick is very, very simple. It is Bobble Shop. And it's 69p in the Mac, in the iTunes store for your iPad. And basically what it is you make bobblehead dolls. Here you go, I made Forsman. And you can wobble the red. But it's all fully customizable. So you tap on the thing that you want and it gets a whole load of hair pieces up here. So I can say, what does Chris look like with a different hairstyle? So there you go, let's put his parton on the other side. There we go. And that's what he looks like with a girl's hairstyle. There you go.
Not much difference, really.
And you can wobble it. So that's it. And you can. I'm going to do the rest of you and capture them. And we'll have them up on the screens, and they'll be more animated than you lot.
Put them on the Twitters.
Where can we go? Yes, I did that this week, didn't I? Me drawing with paper. I like paper. I love paper. Aye. What the hell was that? Who's put a daisy wheel printer on? When you're ready, Andrew, press mute. The quality control on this show's high, dude. Don, where can we get a hold of you, mate?
Right, you can find me over at screencastonline.com for my weekly iOS and Mac tutorials, or on my blog, themaxscreencastguy.com, or over on Twitter as Don McAllister.
And I do declare that you're doing app chat soon, aren't you?
Yes, I've been invited to have an interview by our good friend Carl, so we'll probably sort that out next week.
The history of the screencast empire.
Well, just talking about some of the apps and stuff and development of them and where they came from, where they're going, stuff like that should be good.
With Emperor Don. Where can we get a hold of you, Carl?
You hold me on Twitter at Claw0101, or you can get me on the third show, which precedes this show every Friday, or you can get me, as Don just said, on the app chat, or you can get me with Missy on Worlds Apart.
What's happened to your audio?
All from the British Tech. Why? What's his name? Well, I've had 7 pints. So.
Are you downloading porn or something?
No. What? Can you see that?
You're getting your FireWire thing for Java. Chris, where can we get you, mate?
You can get me on the Twitters at ForzMac, and also you can read my clever Mac-related writing on ArsTechnica.com.
Thanks, mate. Special thanks for coming on this week, because I know you've had a rough week, mate. I do appreciate it. Thank you ever so much for giving your time up. Yeah. Thank you.
Sorry, Comcast sucks.
No, that's okay. They're the least of your worries. Thank you. Mr. Green, where are you, mate?
Of course. Sorry.
You don't come on here enough, mate. You need to come on every week.
It's a nervous affliction I've got. Right.
What, remember your name?
No, the cough thing.
Okay.
I find it works really well in company. You know, I was in a restaurant once, and it was the SARS thing. Do you remember the SARS thing going
yep.
on?
And yeah, absolutely.
Was worried about coughing. And it was an Italian in Ironbridge. And I went with my wife there, and I couldn't stop coughing. I was coughing and coughing and coughing. And then people started to leave. And then me and Vic got into this enormous row. And so she stopped off as well. I was sitting there on my own. And I said, oh. And the stuff arrived, and it cost me about 50 quid, this food did. I thought, right, bollocks to it. I'm not walking out here without my food. I said, can you put my food in a doggy bag? So then they brought the doggy bags, and I left. And I've never been back there again. Da Vinci's in Ironbridge, it is. I don't think they'd invite me back again, to be honest.
107 minutes. There we go.
What is?
I've got to remove your bollocks. hang on, now I've got to remove my own bollocks.
Well, that's okay. That's an actual medical thing, isn't it?
Yeah, bollocks.
Bollocks.
Thanks, bollocks. Will.
That's it then, is it? BritishMac.com. My own podcast is BritishMac.com. And I will pimp my business. This is all about training, especially in education and iPads. If you're in education, primary, secondary, and FE education, and you're looking to put iPads into your school or educational establishment, manage them and deploy software and stuff, go to appleineducation.com.
Right. That's I shall put you in touch with my local primary school, Ellis's Primary School, because they are trying to get every child to buy a Mac and take it to school, and I've got two iPads, and I just refuse. I'm sorry. Buy their own, fine, but I'm not taking one in. But well done, mate. I shall put you in touch with Mr. Lewis.
And Lewis.
You can debate it with him.
He sounds a bit scary, Mr.
He
Lewis.
Yeah, he's all right. He's okay. Me and him have had a few odd words here and there.
Are you bigger than him?
I'm bigger than everyone, mate.
I think you probably are. You're massive.
No, I mean, I'm fatter than Carl. Oh, if that counts. I'm wider than he is. He's taller than I am, but I'm wider than he is. So.
You two should get together.
We do regularly and drink lots of beer.
Yeah, but if you had a baby, it'd be totally square, wouldn't it? Because you got the best of both worlds.
No, if we had a baby, it'd be a miracle. You know he's a guy, right?
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, okay. Totally good.
We spent a night together at the Tontine, I know that.
Well based on the night that I saw you, mate, you wouldn't have known the difference.
No, I'll tell you what. I was hammered. Absolutely hammered.
No kidding.
But you were much better.
I drove home. I was sober. I hadn't had a drink all night.
Oh, yes, you did. That's right. I remember now. Yes.
I was a boring git.
Oh, no, it's the night you stopped over at our place, wasn't it?
No. The night I stopped over at your place was the night that I got hammered in the studio.
That's what
I'm
saying.
Afternoon.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, Dr. Happy Mac, where can we get you, pal?
Yes, at drhappymac.co. Twitter, at Dr. Happy Mac. That's it.
Greeny has that habit of throwing you off. It's all right.
The printers, they switch on with a mind of their own.
No, mate. Steve Neighbour broadcast from Seville on a piece of toilet paper last week and a comb, so don't worry about it.
God, it's sat there, it's done nothing all week, and in the middle of the podcast it comes, hello, I'm an HP printer, I'm going to clean the print heads right now. You don't need me, but I need you.
I've got to say, your rant's not adding to it.
Is it not?
No, not
so
really.
Shall I go back to where you can get a hold of me?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Dr. Happy Mac on Twitter, www.drhappymac on the internet.
Thank you very much, sir. Do appreciate you coming along. We are finished. We're done. It's the end. Thank you for reviews. Please review us in iTunes if you can. Feel free to donate to the network as well as. And please tune in for the Nonsense Show tomorrow night at 9:30 p.m. with Joe and Brian and Christopher W. All the fun and the underbelly of the net will be there exposed. And then we'll be back to normal next week a little bit. Apart from maybe Friday might be Thursday, but I need to chat with these boys afterwards. So, but we'll let you know. We'll change the Google Calendar. If you haven't subscribed to the Google Calendar, you can do it from the live page. On the network page, so britishtechnetwork.com/live, and subscribe there. And then of course we're back on Monday night with the Chinese Grand Prix F1 show, and we're doing it from Elmug as well. I forgot about that bit. We're doing it from the London Mac User Group on Monday night after their meeting, and we're going to analyse the whole shebang. So
in the Chinese F1 Grand Prix,
yeah,
what do they use as transport?
F1 cars.
Oh, okay.
No? What was I looking for there?
Those things, you know, in London. You know, I went with... I went to London once with a mate of mine.
Rickshaws?
Yeah, rickshaws.
They don't have rickshaws in London?
Pedicabs.
Yeah, they do, rickshaws.
Okay, go on.
And we got in this rickshaw, me and my mate, John Eakes, And we sort of, and it kicked off, and we're going to wherever, I can't remember. And John said, "Oi, oi!" And the rickshaw man turned around, and it was whatever, the school bloke. He said, "Oh, you used to bully you at school, didn't he?" He says, "Yeah, you did." And a fucking crisis bloke, right? He thinks, "I've escaped from Leicester. I've come all the way down to London
to get away from this knob."
And he was transporting us around. And so he started to shout, not. No, he didn't start show abuse. But it was bizarre, really.
I'll tell you why at the back of my rickshaw.
Good.
There you go. No one will know we've even edited that in at all. By the time I finish with that, my magic in FCP. I'm telling you.
Sweet.